All right, let's do a very Ableton fast kind of lesson today. Macro mapping for speed using arrangement view, specifically with drum and bass in mind. The big idea is simple. Drum and bass arrangement moves fast. You're constantly changing punch, crunch, space, bass movement, and tension. If you automate every individual plugin parameter, your set turns into a spaghetti bowl of automation lanes. Macros let you turn all that fiddly sound design into a few performance-ready controls, so you can write the arrangement with maybe 3 to 6 automation lanes instead of 12 to 20. By the end of this, you'll have three little control hubs: a drum macro hub for punch, crunch, and space, a bass macro hub for movement, growl, sub safety, and width, and a transition FX rack on a group bus for tension sweeps, throws, and a drop cut. And then we'll actually automate those macros in arrangement view to build a clean 32 to 64 bar structure quickly. First, set up your arrangement skeleton. Go to arrangement view. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Anywhere from 172 to 176 is home base for modern DDNB, but 174 is a great default. Now drop in a few locators so you're not guessing where you are. Here's a fast structure you can use. Intro starting at bar 1, 8 to 16 bars. Build at bar 17, 8 to 16 bars. Drop at bar 33, 16 bars. Break or variation at bar 49, 8 to 16 bars. Drop B at bar 65, 16 bars. Even if your final tune ends up different, this gives you a map, and your automation becomes intentional instead of random. Next, group your core elements now, before you get precious about details. Make groups for drums, bass, music or atmos, and effects or rise. And here's a workflow tip that saves you later. Put a utility at the end of each group right now. Seriously, when you start adding saturation and compression, levels creep up. Utility at the end is your keep me sane trim. Cool. Now we build the drum macro hub. On a MIDI track, load a drum rack. Put in a classic DNB layout. Kick on C1, snare on D1, hats and perks around F sharp 1 to a sharp 1. And if you like that jungle glue, add an optional break slice on another pad using Simpler. Now, after the drum rack on the same track, add an audio effect rack. This rack is where the macros will live. Inside it, add devices in this order as a solid starting chain: drum bus, then saturator, then EQ8, then glue compressor, then utility at the end. Now we map the high impact stuff you actually adjust while ranging. And quick coach note here, treat macros like mixed decisions, not plug-in remotes. Before you map, think, what decisions do I really make in a DDNB drop? More punch, more crunch, less room, more break bite, more hat air. Those are outcomes. That's what your brain can automate quickly. Click map on the audio effect rack. Macro 1 is punch. Map drum bus drive from about 0 up to around 25. Adjust depending on your drum material, but keep it musical. Optionally map boom amount from 0 to 20, and keep it subtle because too much boom can wreck the kick-bass relationship. Then map glue compressor threshold with a small range. You're aiming for tighten and smack, not destroy the transients. Something like minus 10 down to minus 18 dB, depending on your gain staging. Macro 2 is crunch. Map saturator drive from 0 to about 8 dB. Map saturator dry slash wet from 0 up to maybe 40 or 60%. And map a gentle high shelf on EQ8, maybe 0 to plus 2.5 dB around 8 to 10K. That gives you that crispy top without turning it into white noise. Macro 3 is break bite. If you're using a break layer, go inside the drum rack, find the break chain, add auto filter and map auto filter frequency from around 200 Hz up to about 5 kHz. Optional. A tiny bit of resonance mapping, like 0.7 to 1.2, just enough to give it attitude. Macro 4 is room. Add hybrid, reverb or reverb on the drum track, and map dry slash wet from 0 up to around 15 to 25%. If it's hybrid reverb, map decay a little too, like 0.8 seconds up to 1.8 seconds. Key DNB guideline: keep room low during the drop, and let it come up in intros and breakdowns for contrast. That contrast is what makes the drop feel more in your face. Macro 5 can be HATAIR. You can do this a few ways. If your hats are separated, map a shelf or filter on the hat chain. If not, keep it simple and map a drum bus shelf or a subtle saturator color. The goal is air, not more harsh. Now rename the rack drum macro HUB. Rename the macros punch, crunch, room, break bite, hat air. Make it obvious. When you're arranging, you don't want to translate tech in your head. You want instant meaning. Also, set safe zones. This is huge. You want most of your automation to live in the middle, where it always sounds good. Make the first 20% of each macro travel subtle, and save the last 10% for moment moves, like the end of a phrase or a fill. And calibrate these ranges while the loudest part of the song is playing. Put on your drop loop and then adjust ranges. If you set macro ranges during the intro, you'll hit the drop and everything will be way too intense. Alright, bass macro hub time. On a MIDI track, load an instrument rack. We're going to use two chains, sub and res. On the sub chain, use operator on a sine wave. Put a utility after it and set width to 0%. Mono sub, always. Set gain so it's stable and not clipping. On the res chain, use waveitable or operator, whatever you're comfortable with. A saw-based wave works great. Use unison, but don't overdo it. 2 to 4 voices is usually plenty for a res. Then add, on the res chain, auto filter, chorus ensemble or phaser flanger for movement, saturator or roar if you're on a newer live, then EQ8, then utility. Now we map the bass macros. Macro 1 is move. Map auto filter frequency from around 200 Hz up to maybe 2.5 kHz. Map resonance from 0.7 to 1.4. Map chorus ensemble amount from 0 up to about 25%. Map saturator dry slash wet from 0 up to about 35%. So as move increases, the bass opens, gets more animated and gains harmonics. That's a very D&B arrangement move. Macro 2 is growl. Map saturator drive from 0 up to around 10 dB. Keep an ear on level. Optionally add an amp device and map its gain lightly for extra bite. And you can map a small low mid boost, like 200 to 400 Hz, 0 to plus 2 dB. Careful though, this area can get boxy fast, especially when the drums are busy. Macro 3 is sub safe. This one is non-negotiable if you want clean low end. On the res chain, map an EQ8 low cut frequency from 20 Hz up to maybe 120 Hz. This is how you stop the res from fighting the sub. On the sub chain, map utility gain from minus 6 dB up to 0 dB. So when things get heavy, you can clean the low end and rebalance without rewriting the patch. Macro 4 is width, but only for the mids. Map utility width on the res chain from about 80% up to 140%. Keep the sub chain mono and don't map width there. Extra pro move. If your bass sounds huge in stereo but collapses in mono, do a little self-defense mapping. When move is high, pull width down slightly. Basically, when modulation gets busy, reduce width a touch so the center stays solid. Now we build the transition FX rack, and this is where arrangement speed really kicks in. Put this on a group bus. Usually your drums group is a great place to start. Add an auto effect rack and name it transition FX rack. Inside, add auto filter for high-pass sweeps. Then echo for throws, then hybrid reverb for wash, then utility for quick dips. Map macro 1 as tension. Map auto filter frequency in high pass mode from around 30 Hz up to around 300 Hz. That sweep clears low end and creates lift. Map reverb dry slash wet from 0 up to maybe 20 to 35%. Map echo feedback from 0 up to about 25%. Map echo dry slash wet from 0 up to 15 to 25%. Here's a cleaner build effects trick so you don't wash your drums. Instead of only raising reverb mix, also map reverb predelay from 0 up to about 25 milliseconds, and map a high pass inside the reverb from about 150 up to 500 Hz. You get perceived size without burying transients. Macro 2 is drop cut. Map utility gain from 0 dB down to minus infinity, or at least down to around minus 30 dB. This is your tight suck out right before the drop. Macro 3 is throw. Map echo dry slash wet from 0 up to around 35%. Set echo time to 1/8 or 1/4 dotted, classic D&B throw timing. Optionally map echo's internal filter, so the throw stays clean and doesn't muddy the low mids. And teacher note, if you only want the throw on the last snare, don't over-automate the whole drum bus. Duplicate that snare hit to audio and put the throw rack on just that hit. Cleaner, faster, and you'll avoid accidental echoes on everything. Now the speed part, automating macros in arrangement view. Hit it to toggle automation mode. Instead of selecting random device parameters, choose the rack and macro in the automation chooser. For example, drum macro hub then punch, or transition FX rack then tension. The whole point is you're working at the decision level. Let's do some D&B friendly automation shapes. In the last 8 bars before the drop, ramp tension up smoothly. This is your lift. Bring room up slightly too, but don't drown the drums. And on the bass, ramp move up so the bass feels like it's waking up and getting restless. 1 bar before the drop, Do the pre-drop suck. Use drop CUT and dip it for a quarter bar to half a bar right before the downbeat of the drop. At the same moment, snap room down at the drop for contrast. And consider pushing SUB safe a bit higher right before the drop, meaning, trim Reese lows slightly so the drop hits cleaner. At 174 BPM, that half bar of clarity makes a huge difference. Now, during the drop, don't just pin everything at max. That's how drops get tiring. Think in 4-bar phrases. Example, bars 1 to 4 of the drop. Moderate punch, medium move. Bars 5 to 8, increase crunch a bit, reduce room so it's tighter. Bars 9 to 12, do a quick throw on the last snare of the phrase. Bars 13 to 16, pull move down slightly to reset the ear. That reset is not weakness, that's arrangement psychology. A tiny pullback makes the next hit feel bigger even if the peak level is the same. Now keep your automation readable. This is another place people accidentally slow themselves down. Aim for 3 to 6 macro lanes total per section. If you have too many lanes, it's not that you need more automation. It's that your macros aren't doing the right jobs yet. A practical hack. Add locators every 4 bars inside the drop labeled A1, A2, A3, A4. Decide one feature per locator like A2 equals more crunch, A3 equals bass move peak, A4 equals throw plus reset. That keeps you intentional. Let's talk about a couple common mistakes before we wrap. First, mapping too many parameters to one macro. If you turn the knob and it feels chaotic, reduce it. 2 to 4 parameters per macro is usually the sweet spot. Second, huge parameter ranges. If the macro goes from nothing to completely destroyed, you'll fight it constantly. Tighten the range so the whole travel is usable. Third, automating devices instead of macros. If you catch yourself drawing automation on saturator drive directly, pause. Ask, should this be a macro decision instead? Fourth, ignoring gain staging. Distortion plus compression will sneak your level up. Use those utilities at the end of groups. And if you want an extra layer of safety, create a tiny macro governor rack at the end of your drums and bass groups, utility plus limiter, map to one macro called safe. Then when the track gets densest, you automate safe up instead of rebalancing everything manually. And the classic, widening the sub. Don't do it. Keep the sub mono and stable. Width is for mid information. Now, save your work so you actually get faster next time. Save your drum macro hub, your bass macro hub, and your transition FX rack into your user library. Next track, you drag and drop and you're immediately in arrangement mode. Mini practice to lock this in, about 15 to 25 minutes. This audio version is shortened for playback.